Welcome to In Their Words. Today's episode brings us a powerful story of resilience, hope, and transformation. Leanne Wilson shares the emotional journey of her husband, Dr. Matthew Wilson, following a near-fatal car crash that left him with a traumatic brain injury. From the intense moments after the accident to Dr. Wilson's incredible return to his medical career at UPMC, their story is one of remarkable determination. But the Wilsons didn't stop at recovery. Hear how they channeled their experience into creating the Brain Matters Fund, an initiative dedicated to supporting and educating others affected by traumatic brain injury. This inspiring episode showcases how personal tragedy can evolve into a powerful force for good. And here's an interesting tidbit. Leanne's commitment to healthcare extends beyond her family's experience. She also serves as a board member for the UPMC Pinnacle Foundation.
Hi, I'm Leanne Wilson. I am a board member for the UPMC Pinnacle Foundation and the wife of Dr. Matthew Wilson, who is a family practice and sports medicine physician at Susquehanna Trail UPMC here in York, Pennsylvania. Continuing with the story, I believe. So my husband has worked for UPMC since 2014, and he first started working at the Silver Spring office up in Mechanicsburg. And he had a daily commute to go from York to Mechanicsburg, and all went well until March 9th, 2018. And that morning was a little bit different for us, that it was a Friday, and he chose to have breakfast at home instead of going to his Panera stop, as he normally did on Fridays. And our daughter got up really early, and I was up. So he left for work. I went downstairs to do my workout, but my daughter did something a little bit different that morning, and I wanted to call my husband and tell him what she had done. And it's 6:30 in the morning. He does not expect my phone call. He didn't pick up. So it took him about 10 minutes to realize I had called, and he called me back. So I was able to share the story of what our daughter had done. And then I heard the worst sounds of metal crunching and glass shattering. And the phone call did not drop. It just went silent. And I spent, I think, around 10 minutes just screaming into the phone, hello, can anyone hear me? Pick up the phone. Just not knowing what had happened. Eventually, someone did pick up the phone, said that there was a car accident. Matt was in a conscious state and the ambulance was just arriving. I told them, okay, he works for UPMC. Take him to UPMC and I will be up there as soon as I can. And also said, call me back. But I never gave them my phone number and his phone had a lock on it. So they were never going to be able to contact me back easily. So after a few minutes, I realized, okay, I got to call his work, let him know he's not going to be at the office, call his mother and father that he was in a car accident, call my work to say I'm not going to be there and my dad as well. And then a neighbor as well to get the kids on the bus, school bus. So after all of that, I looked on the maps app and saw how red 83 was and decided I have to take Route 15 up. So I got to the UPMC hospital in Harrisburg, went to the emergency room, walked in saying my husband was in a car accident. They're like, well, he's not here, and was given trauma center phone numbers. So I called Hershey Med first and that's where he was. I was about 10 minutes from the hospital at Hershey when the police called. So it just still astounds me. That was around 8:30 or so. It astounds me that if I had not been on the phone with him at 6:40 in the morning, I would not have known about this car accident until 8:30 or so. So it all worked out that I was at the hospital as quickly as I could be. And when I got there, I remember the first person I saw was a chaplain. And he had offered his services. And my immediate reaction was, is he dying? Because, oh my gosh, like, yes, he was in a car accident, but I had no idea on what severity at that point. But came to learn that he had a brain bleed, a small brain bleed, that they had done a, I guess, MRI, CAT scan, I forget which one, but identifying that his brain was going through some major trauma. But then everyone starts coming to the hospital. We knew that this was not going to be a taking him home quickly scenario. And it took, so that was the Friday, it took until Monday for him to be released. In the time period, you could just tell he was not himself from some of the language he was using. And his memory was just not there. When they asked him his address, he actually gave his parents' address. I mean, obviously, we had lived together. We were married for almost a decade at that point. I'm sorry, well over a decade at that point. So it was a little odd. And he couldn't pass the cognitive test of putting things in order, being able to list things. So that's when he knew something just was, his brain went through a traumatic injury. It was always kind of funny that he is a sports medicine physician and has treated many concussions in his time period. And this was the worst concussion you could possibly have. So he now became the patient. We got released on Monday after he finally was cooperative to walk the halls and do the things. And he was released to do cognitive, speech, physical, all the therapies. I forget if I'm missing one. I might have to go back on this. That he had to do all of these things over time. And I found them all at one location that was nearby our house. So we didn't have to go very far. And it was at a nursing center, essentially, that here's this 36-year-old among many older individuals. And the first day he was there, he was not happy at all. But over time, he quickly realized how he was going to be getting out of this therapy was to do all the work that was needed. So it took about 8 weeks for him to be able to have his full balance, have his memory, short-term and long-term, was back and was able to return to work. Along the way of all of that, UPMC was amazing, just from the standpoint of understanding all that he was going through as a family, what we had to deal with. We now had a car that was totaled. Piece of the story that I forgot. As I found out later after the accident, it was a Ford car accident. He was second in line, rammed by a Dodge Ram, going 60 miles over the speed, not the speed limit, but there was a slowdown that there was a cop on the side of the road and they were slowing down and the Dodge Ram did not slow down. So they were going to speed limit and everyone else was not. So he got hit, bumped into the car in front of him. And then there was a fourth car that hit into the Honda Civic and the back of the car was pushed to the front seat. That he did not get squished. The airbag did not deploy because it was a back end hit, but he was life flighted, which again, did not know that on day one and learned this as the story came out. So UPMC again was awesome and protected his job. Obviously, he had to be on a short term disability for a period of time because he could not be seeing patients at that point and treated us really well. So after less than a year, but it was close to a year, working with the at-fault insurance was a hassle, as most big claims would be. And the result of all of it was that we got a settlement. And we felt pretty strongly that it was more than we anticipated or needed. Like, he had survived. He still had his job. He had his mental capacity, everything, all the resources that we had, we were able to be good. But that is not the case for many people. If they were in a car accident like that they would have that car payment. They may not be able to pay the medical bills or the helicopter bill. Like, all of the things that might happen to someone that we realize we need to get back. So that's where part of the settlement turned into a few different things. But for UPMC, it turned into the Brain Matters Fund at the UPMC Pinnacle Foundation. And the purpose of it really started to just be, we need to raise some awareness about brain injuries, that he had gone through this, he fully understood it personally, but it takes on different meanings for different people. So the fund was built the very first year that we were able to spin off some of the profits. We did bike helmets down in York for a fair activity. And we also ended up being at the York Revs for a night as well, giving away helmets to York City kids, because you've got to remember that helmets are important no matter what age you are. So being able to give those out, if you fall off your bike, having the helmet is much more likely that you'll be fine. The second year, I believe we used the money to help nurses or physicians get some special education. And now where we have landed is starting this traumatic brain injury support group. And where this came from, a few months after Matt was back to work, his office manager up at Susquehanna Trail's son was in a major car accident. And he survived, and as I understand it, just did not recover as easily as Matt did. He had way more brain injury and just suffered from the brain, traumatic brain injury. So it's kind of fun how the two have come back together from their different experiences, being able to have this traumatic brain injury support group and the resources that they are providing. I have not been part of the group, but as I understand it, just being able to talk through and have that understanding of what the people are going through is the purpose of that. And it's great that we're able to help support the group.
Listen in as Leanne offers insights into Dr. Wilson's ongoing recovery process, touching on the progress he's made and the lingering effects they still navigate as a family.
Going back even before 2018, my biggest fear was always that he was going to be in a car accident. Just from IAB3 is not the safest place. So you never know when this is going to happen. Car accidents are just that. And every time I pass an ambulance or get stuck in a car line up because someone had an accident, someone's had a terrible day. And we had a terrible day, without a doubt, on how the accident happened. But for us, it happened in the best possible way and having all of that care. In his second checkup with his second MRI, we were in the waiting room and someone had come up to us, like just being chatty, that he was in a motorcycle accident and his injuries that he experienced was just so much different than all the effort that he had to put in. So brain injuries just vary so much that you don't know what you get, how your brain's going to react. There's medicines, of course, to help with it. But my husband's recovery was a little bit easier, I think. His head was not hit as strongly. He had the brain bleed, but I think others that experienced the traumatic impact part of it really can make the bigger impact on that recovery part. But for his recovery, I don't really think we notice anything other than the question mark of, has been forgetfulness? Or is it brain injury that we just at this point put things that has been forgetfulness because he is able to go about his physician role and take care of his patients as well. So the support group, being able to bring the survivors together because their experiences are different and just being able to share that among people that it went through some trauma is super important. And being able to share your story and have others relate to you and deal with how others are interacting with you as well. That I think that's part of it, that it was challenging for me not being able to speak to my husband in those 8-week time periods that he wouldn't remember the things, or it was different that he was not himself in that time period. And for those that don't recover as easily, it goes on and your family has to understand that. And that support group, I think, is a piece of that to relate and understand the issues that they are dealing with, that you can't change it because they went through this trauma.
In the Wilsons' case, they found a way to gain valuable knowledge about the accessibility of philanthropy and the power each person has to affect change, regardless of the scale. It's a reminder that impactful giving is within reach for those motivated to make a difference. Leanne walks us through the process of creating the Brain Matters Fund, offering a behind-the-scenes look at establishing an endowment with a foundation. She discusses the steps involved, the challenges they faced, and the resources they needed to bring their vision to life.
So in setting up the endowment, we worked with the York Giving Officer and Jessica Ritchie as the leader of the UPMC Pinnacle Foundation. And there's a $5,000 minimum, as it was then. I trust that's still the case, to set up an endowment. And you get to set up exactly what you want it to be, or broad enough that can be adaptable, which I would say ours is. We knew we wanted it to be about traumatic brain injuries, but that, as I already shared, kind of takes on different ways. It's the helmets, it's training. There at one point was a discussion about an ocular machine that could help identify a traumatic brain injury sooner, things along those lines. It was just very adaptable that we wanted it to be brain injury focused. As I understood it, there was no fund established at that point, that you get to do what you want. If you want your name attached to an endowment, and we chose to do, it was the Brain Matters for us.
After all the trials and tribulations they had been through, Leanne and Dr. Wilson chose to give back. Listen in as she recounts how the community responded following the accident.
Okay. So first, the reaction just from our community in our neighborhood, to start from there, they were amazing that here I'm dealing with a husband that now has lots of medical appointments. I had a job still, which they were amazing, and had a major event, I want to say 2 weeks after the accident happened. And I was the only one capable of doing marketing things, all of the design and everything. So I had to pull in some people that I knew outside of my organization to help with that. And the event went off fine. Back to the neighbors, they pulled together a meal train immediately. So I didn't have to worry about food for weeks, which was amazing because we had people coming in, his family, my family, everyone was descending upon us to make sure that we were okay. So that was the immediate reaction. And then it kind of, as life went back to normal, we were happy to be back to normal. And then working through that settlement process was a hassle. And getting consulting advice from our insurance provider that was walking us through, because you could just tell the at-fault insurance was making all the effort to not let this finish. Like, it's push it out as far as possible, like sending an envelope saying that you were including the form we had to fill out, and it was empty. Like, oh my gosh, like, should we just get through with this? So it was, once that settlement was done and we had the money, we had decided that at least half of it, and it's turned out to be more than half of it, has been given away. And it came in a few different ways, that it was the UPMC Pinnacle Foundation Endowment. We both graduated from Juniata College. And in my senior year, my mom passed away from colon cancer. So, of course, that has a huge impact on my life. And we chose to set up a scholarship, an endowed scholarship at Juniata College, called the Life is Short Fund, because life is short. And it is meant for students that have lost a parent either before coming to college or during college. And that will be available next year. It was a little bit more expensive than the UPMC one. And we also were able to do some micro make your day type of things, that we just sent people we knew that had done some cool things. If we could find their address, we sent out some gift cards. And then we also had one really good friend that do amazing work in church and nursing. And we chose to send them to Disney World and their family because they were not able to afford that on their own. And just being able to spread the love was amazing. So Matt and I have been very generous of our time, money, effort, everything into our community for years. A lot of that was through the United Way of York County. So we had very planned giving, and we knew what we would be giving every year. The night before the car accident, I was on Facebook and saw a GoFundMe page that just pulled me in, that I'm like, I need to give to this. It was someone I knew, but not super well, and she was going to be going through some major medical procedures and the costs associated with that. So I chose to give to that GoFundMe page. And it was, I feel like, the karma of it all, that doing that spared Matt's life, essentially. And that's part of where I'm like, no, we have to give back more. That we were fine, others would not have been fine, and give them more opportunity to be okay.
Reflecting on her aspirations and vision for the initiative she and her family have built, Leanne shares her hopes for the fund's growth and impact in the coming years, outlining the goals they've set and the changes they aim to bring about in the realm of traumatic brain injury awareness and support.
As the endowment is set up, that it is meant to be adaptable to whatever the future may hold. It would be amazing for me to have others understand the importance. Just because we set the endowment up, to my understanding, it does not mean that we are the only ones that can fund it. So anyone that may have experienced a similar issue or wants to give back for traumatic brain injury, this endowment, to my knowledge, is the only one at the UPMC Pinnacle Foundation that would allow that. And so that's a way it could grow. But just as technology shifts, that being able to identify those concussions sooner, and hopefully getting more therapies to be able to have more recovery for people that might have gone through a lot worse. So that night before, again, scrolling through Facebook, there was a quote that just stuck with me, and I had to go back and find it because it just again, the timing of seeing this was super important, that there will be very painful moments in your life that will change your entire world in a matter of minutes. These moments will change you. Let them make you stronger, smarter, and kinder. But don't you go and become someone that you're not. Cry, scream if you have to. Then you straighten out that crown and keep moving. And it's attributed to Aaron Van Buren. I think that's exactly what we did. Like, we went through painful moments that changed our world. But a result of that is that we did make things kinder and stronger for our community. As a UPMC Pinnacle Foundation board member, it's been very rewarding to see all of the impact that the foundation puts into our community, that the organization more or less exists to support the hospital efforts that generally may not be able to be in the operational budget. So things that might be needed. And then, of course, the health of the community. So the three areas that the foundation covers is community health, workforce, and population health. And that all takes on different meanings for the workforce. I know we have been supporting medical assistants and nursing to make sure that they're getting their degrees and then hopefully fit into the UPMC world, as that is a huge need. Community health and population health, just making sure that the resources are there in our community to provide. I know we just did the vending machines of providing medical supplies, that you don't have to go in and see someone, but you can get some tests that you might want to be taken, or the Narcan for an opioid overdose. Like, that's an example of us putting resources out into the community to be used. And then population health, just those that, again, don't have all the resources they might need, and being able to assist them in different ways, if it's gas cards to get to appointments or other examples like that.
As we wrap up this powerful episode of In Their Words, we're left with a profound sense of hope and inspiration. Leanne Wilson's story reminds us of the resilience of the human spirit and the transformative power of turning personal tragedy into a force for good. From the harrowing moments following Dr. Matthew Wilson's accident to the creation of the Brain Matters Fund, we've witnessed a journey of courage, determination, and community support. This episode serves as a testament to the impact one family can have when they choose to channel their experiences into helping others. It's a call to action for all of us to consider how we might make a difference in our own communities, no matter the challenges we face. We thank Leanne for sharing her family's story and for providing insight into the world of traumatic brain injury recovery and philanthropy. Her openness and dedication are sure to inspire and educate listeners long after this episode ends. Remember, each of us has the power to create change, whether it's through supporting initiatives like the Brain Matters Fund or starting our own. We can all play a part in making the world a little bit better. Thank you for joining us on In Their Words. Until next time, keep listening, keep caring, and keep making a difference.